Thank you for tuning in to Highland Chapel Online. My name is Nick Calloway. I'm one of the pastors here at HC. We love being able to offer this resource, but please don't let it take the place of gathering with your local church. What a privilege it is to be known, to be seen, and to enjoy the fellowship of believers. But while you're here, we hope that God's word is encouraging to you and that you'll respond to His message. Have a great day.
Amen. You can be seated. Can we thank God this morning? God is good. Believing that. So good to see everybody here this morning. I'd like to welcome you all. Also, I just want to take the time to thank you, HC. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and responding to Pastor Luke's message series through serving. This past Wednesday, we launched and kicked off our HC Kids Ministry, our HCSM, our student ministry on Wednesday nights back to the fall, and we had over 100 adults step up, sign up, and serve our students and kids this past Wednesday. And just want to say thank you for investing and pouring into the next generations and valuing them. And just want to say thank you. We had a great night kicking everything off this past Wednesday. And so thank you for giving up your time to make that happen. A Lifeway research study showed teens who had at least one adult from church make a significant time investment in their lives were more likely to keep attending church. The likelihood doubles when five or more adults at church had invested time with them personally and spiritually. And church, what you do by serving on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, all throughout the week, it's making a difference to one another, also for the next generations. And so just want to say thank you for our student ministry. That is my ministry focus as one of the pastors here. And my focus is students, but we challenge and encourage our adults from the moment a student walks in, whether you're on the welcome team, whether you're back in the kitchen cooking and serving food, over here as a small group leader, welcome team, cleanup, running media, whatever that is, thank you, because it makes an impact. It makes a difference that students get to see a church that loves them so well, that gives up their time to serve them and make sure that they have a place to worship on Wednesday nights and that they are poured into. And I know Amanda, our HC Kids Director, expresses that same sentiment as well. But my name is Grant, one of the pastors here. I focus on students, and we had a great summer this past summer. Going to give you a quick recap. We had lots of fun. A lot of great things took place. This past summer, we started off by having service projects. That's what we do to raise money for our mission trips. We raised over $24,000 this past summer for our summer missions. And yeah, absolutely. Thank you, church, for your generosity. Thank you for loving students and allowing our students to go on these mission trips. We were able to take students to Jonesboro. We took our middle school students there. It was about the third day before a middle schooler realized the hotel we were staying at wasn't called Comfort Suits. But we were able to go there. We were able to serve different ministries. We served a recovery ministry. We were able to serve a food bank up there, and just let them see, hey, whatever you're doing up here in Jonesboro, whatever you're doing down in New Orleans, whatever you're doing in Boston, you can still bring that back home and do it here. And so thankful for those students that took those steps and to see them bring that back home and continue living it out. And students also talked about taking big steps and can't wait to see all that God is going to do now that we've kicked off Wednesdays here for the fall. Next Wednesday, not this upcoming Wednesday, but September 11th, our students are going to be having what we call Invite Night. Our students do a great job on Wednesday nights of inviting friends, of bringing others to hear the gospel, to hear the truths that we talk about each and every Wednesday night. And last year, we were able to do this and start this. And so our students do a great job, but they really stepped it up and brought friends on Invite Night. We do this because everybody knows somebody and everybody needs Jesus. And we believe that, and we want to see that happen. We want to see our students inviting others. And church, what I want to do here this morning is just really give you that same challenge, to challenge you. Next Sunday is going to be a big Sunday. There's going to be a lot going on. We'll have our new series as Pastor Luke begins that message series. Excited for y'all to hear from him on that. Our groups launch, all sorts of groups for you and your family to get plugged into. Baptism Sunday, and Nick has another announcement as to what we will be talking about as well coming up next Sunday. But church, invite people. Tell people about it, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but every day of the week. Let them be known. Let it be known that they are welcomed and wanted. Last year we had a a guest. She'd only been coming for like a couple of nights to HCSM, and then we had invite night. And she's like, well, hey, I'm going to invite somebody here. She hasn't been coming regularly, just a couple of times. And so she invited this young lady. This young lady begins to come. She begins to lean in, learn more and more about Jesus and what Jesus has done for her. And then later on in the school year, earlier this year, she makes the decision to follow Jesus and gets baptized earlier this year. And it was awesome to see. Yeah, absolutely. Thankful to see that. But one thing that we just want to challenge you, challenge our students with, is she made that decision, but when she first came here to HCSM on Wednesday night, she's like, hey, all my friends are here. I was like, yeah, why didn't they invite you? And I'm not like getting on to those students. They are awesome. They do a great job. But it's just to realize and open our eyes, like there's people all around us that are missing it. They don't have what we have. They don't get to experience what we have. They just need the answer. They're searching for this, searching for that. And it's just sometimes us simply telling them, us simply inviting them, gives them a way to hear truth, to hear the good news about Jesus. And so I want to give that same challenge to y'all. And so thankful for her and her decision. Jesus saves. God gets the glory. The kingdom of heaven grows. In church, we play a small, small part in that. But we do play a small part in that. And don't forget that we do have a role in that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it's going to be up on the screen, says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. And we are to represent Christ as we go, as we live, challenging and telling people to come to Christ, to come back to God. And just like an ambassador, he represents his king in a foreign land. We too, as Christians, do the same. Living in a foreign land, representing our king and what we say and what we do and how we act and how we behave and the message that we share and tell others. We are ambassadors saying, come back to God. That's the message that we carry with us. Another example that we see of someone telling others and inviting others is found in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 says, verse 38, the man who had been freed from the demons. We don't really know his name. He just called that. The man who had been freed from the demons, what a name, begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him home saying, no, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you. Tell them everything God has done for you. So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. He listened and obeyed and went and told others. But church, what happens when we don't speak? When we don't listen and obey? When we keep it in to ourselves? What happens then? What happens then? Who all in our community out there would benefit from hearing about Jesus, would benefit from us telling others about Jesus, would benefit from us inviting others? Who is out there that's just missing it right now? You've probably gotten invitations of all kinds, maybe a birthday party invitation, a wedding invitation, a baby shower, a gender reveal, maybe an invitation to church, to a college tour, to dinner. Maybe you've even been invited on a date before. I invited my wife on a date many years ago, and now we are happily married, have four kids, and we enjoy watching two dogs named Bluey and Bingo all the time. That's what we get to do now. Maybe you've even been invited to a ball game before. One time I got invited to go watch the Razorback men's basketball team play number one Auburn. I never would have thought to go, but I got invited to go, so I went. It was an amazing game. Got to see us take down and bring down number one Auburn. I found out on that weekend that Todd is allergic to honey, and also that Nick, after we won, he shaved both of his eyebrows. It was crazy. Just kidding. He only shaved one. But listen, here at Holland Chapel, we value investing and inviting. We value investing and inviting. It's something we talk about at our membership class. We say, look, this is something that we value, that we believe to be important, to tell others, to invite others. And so with that, if God is ever burdening you with someone, pursue that. If God ever lays it on your heart to talk to somebody, to go after somebody, do just that. Pursue it. God put that person in your life for a reason. You have a circle of influence. You have a circle of friends that I don't have. You interact with people, have relationships with people that I could never have. But we each have an impact on the group of people that we are around all day, every day. And who could you be pursuing, telling, inviting? And it doesn't replace, please understand this does not replace when we invite our responsibility to share the gospel with others, to teach and share truth with others. But it's just another avenue, another way that we can bring people to a community of believers that's pursuing Jesus together and wants to help them do the exact same. I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 8. Use your copy of God's Word to turn to Acts chapter 8. You can even nowadays use your phone on the Bible app if you'd like to do that as well. I tell our students all the time, you can use your phone to look at the Bible. Just don't be checking your fantasy football or anything like that. Use this small time that we have together to focus on God's Word here. Acts chapter 8. We're going to take a look at what happens when we take action and move when God tells us to. When we take action and move when God tells us to. The first seven chapters of the book of Acts are about the gospel in Jerusalem. Chapters 8 through 12 are about the gospel being taken to Judea and Samaria. And then we see the rest of the book of Acts all the way through 28 as it's being taken to the ends of the earth. And we see that the believers are persecuted. And as these believers are persecuted, they're sharing the gospel, they're pushed out, they're forced out. But as they do that, as they're forced out, they're sharing the gospel to further and further areas. And we see Acts chapter 8, verse 4 says, the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. And then we come to verse 26, Acts chapter 8. A man named Philip, he was known as Philip the Evangelizer. He's about to go on his next journey. Philip was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning he was led by God. And we see how he's going to listen to God. Now, real quick before we get going, you may be sitting out here today being like, hey, I'm leaning in. I don't really know what this means to follow Jesus or who Jesus is. Maybe you even got invited to church this morning. And we just want to tell you, hey, what it means to follow Jesus is understanding, like, hey, what God has done for us and realizing we are all a sinner. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God knows that. But God says, look, I'm going to make a way for you to be in good standing with me. And so God sends his one and only son to live a sinless life, a perfect life, and he gives his life up for us on the cross. And he overcomes the grave 3 days later. And if you have never done this before, you can place your faith and trust and hope in Jesus, believing this and turning from your sin, and you get to be a child of God, and that lasts for eternity. And just know we have some friends that would love to talk to you more about that later on at the end of our worship gathering. But here we go. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Philip, a man being led by the Holy Spirit. Here we go. Let's go. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, Jerusalem to Gaza would have been about 40 miles, about the distance from Benton to Conway. So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet of Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. So Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And I believe there's two things that we can take from this morning. Number one is be willing and ready. For us to simply be willing and ready. Philip starts out on the desert road. We immediately see the angel speaks to him. And we don't read anything about hesitation. We don't see anything about him questioning. We don't see him thinking like, like the garment says to go this way. Are you sure this is the way to go? It's like, no. This is the way I want you to go. And he listens and obeys. God said to do this and go this way. And so do it. For us to remember, when God speaks, listen and obey and do what God says in all things. And so he meets this treasurer of Ethiopia, an important person, a person on the royal court. And so we're told that this treasurer, this important person, was headed to Jerusalem, and now they're on their way back after worshiping. And God says, go to that chariot. And what does somebody do when God speaks? You listen and obey all day, every day. You go and do it. And so be obedient. What is God telling you to do? Who may God be telling you to tell about Jesus, to invite? Who is God laying on your heart to reach out to? And I would say, church, I also encourage you, maybe you're not sure who that person may be. Maybe you're not sure in your circle of people that you know who that might be. And I would just encourage you and invite you to pray for it, to pray about it. God, give me somebody that I can reach out to. I had a friend tell me that when you pray for it, when you pray for God to give you an opportunity to put someone in your path, in your life, get ready, because it's about to happen. Like, seriously, get ready. I'm driving in this morning, and it's like, hey, you're going to talk the talk. You better walk the walk. I drive in. I pull into the parking lot, and I see in the back corner of the parking lot some guy walking his two dogs. And I pull into my parking spot, and it's like, hey, there's a guy out there. It's like, hey, I'm preaching about inviting, telling others about Jesus. Put it in park, and I'm like, okay, I can't get out of the truck without talking to this guy. So I put it back in drive, go over there and talk to him, have a conversation with him. Says, hey, man, hey, just want to let you know you are welcome, and we'd love to have you here at Holland Chapel. We got two worship gatherings, 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m. He said, hey, thank you so much. I actually worship someplace else. But he said, you know what? I've heard of y'all. I've heard about y'all's recovery program. And it was so cool to see him, knowing that he has heard things about Holland Chapel, that he's already following Jesus, and great to hear that. But hey, sometimes when you pray for it, when you ask for something like that to happen, get ready. God's going to make it happen. But be willing and be ready to have that conversation. When we were up with our students in Boston, it was actually the Winthrop area, we went on a prayer walk, this kind of drive around prayer tour. And so we got to see the north side of Winthrop. We got to see the south side of Winthrop. And one of the spots we went through, Pastor Jason Talent took us to one of the schools there. And so they have a son, and he is, I think, in the 10th grade. And at his school, there's about 120, I think, to 140 in his grade. And he said he's one of just maybe a few that are following Jesus. There's just not a large presence. Student, if you're hearing this, be thankful that at your school, there's a lot of other students following Jesus. But up here, there's not that many. So we go to this school, and we circle around, and we start talking about how we want to pray for students and families to come to know Jesus. We start praying for students to respond to Jesus. And here come these four boys. And one of them breaks off and comes over here. And I'm pretty sure it was like a dare. Hey, go over there and see what those people are talking about. Go mess with them, whatnot. And he comes right up into our circle. And he hears us talking about Jesus. And he was very respectful. Thankfully, he was very respectful. Wasn't trying to give us a hard time. But he came and listened. And he got to hear us share the gospel to him. And it came time to pray and said, hey, Matthew, we're about to pray, but hey, we'd love for you just to stay with us and let us pray over you. And he said, yeah, I'm all for it. And he did it. And he's able to stay there. But it's one of those things, as we're driving around praying for God to work, for God to move, right there, here comes a student. Just be ready and willing that God's going to present people in your path and for those situations to happen. We need to be obedient and listen and be willing to move. Be willing to go. And if God is burdening you with someone, pursue it. Pursue it. Be willing and ready is number one. Number two, trust God. Trust God in those moments. Trust that God goes before us, that he's already working in advance, that he's going to be able to help us give the words to say, to speak, and he's going to be there after the fact. Because you never know where someone is at. Just like here in this passage that we read, Philip goes up to this Ethiopian. And we see he was already reading the Word of God. He was already diving into it. And he has some questions about what he is reading. The Ethiopian asks, how can I understand unless someone explains it? Who is the prophet talking about? Now, I got to say, every conversation may not be like that. You may not walk up on somebody and say, hey, I want to bring you to church. And be like, hey, that's awesome. I'm reading the Bible right now. It may not be like that. And that's okay. But to understand, like, hey, pursue it. Trust God that he's working on someone. I think we really will be surprised that when we talk to people, there's how interested they are. It's like, hey, why do you follow Jesus? Like, how has he helped you? What is he doing for you? There's people out there that want to know, that are hurting, that are struggling, that need the answer. And we have it. We have it. We see that Philip uses Scripture. The very passage of Scripture that he was reading, Isaiah 53, verses 7 through 8. And he uses that passage to tell him the good news about Jesus. Someone said, the Holy Spirit guides the servant of God in where, when, what to say, and what to do. Trust that God is moving and working and is there to help us. Trust that God is doing just that. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When it comes to inviting, when it comes to telling church, trust God. Trust God. Trust that he's working, that have already been at work, still at work, and continue to do the work that he has begun. Trust that God will save. We do not fail. We do not fail when someone doesn't come to church after we invite them. We do not fail when somebody doesn't accept Christ right then and there after we share the gospel with them. Often our failure lies in our omission or in our silence, us not taking action. When we get fearful, when we get afraid, when we're not willing and ready, when we're not trusting God in those situations. But what would have happened if Philip got fearful and afraid, if Philip wasn't willing to go? If Philip said, nah, I just don't feel comfortable doing that right now, ain't going to happen today. What happens if we don't obey God and if we aren't willing to tell others, to invite others, to do what he's called us to do? And what happens to this Ethiopian? We see because of Philip's willingness to go and listen to God, because he trusted God in the situation, we see this Ethiopian is able to hear the gospel and respond to the gospel, and he believes and accepts Christ. And we see later on that he's baptized because of his faithfulness and believing. Your job is not to save them. That's God's. All we do is share it. Be an ambassador. We carry it. We proclaim it. We tell others about it and invite others. You can tell others. You can invite others. You can bring them to church. What all could happen, church? What all could happen when we step out? Be willing and ready and trust God. We see multiple places in Scripture where someone is invited to follow Jesus. We see times where Jesus calls out others, where Jesus invites others. We see instances where people are bringing others to Jesus. We see over and over again in Scripture where somebody brought somebody to Jesus. I'm going to read several of these very quickly for you. John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. Andrew goes to find his brother Simon Peter and tells him that they have found the Christ. And Andrew brings Simon Peter to Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, come and follow me. Verse 45, Philip goes to look for Nathanael and tells him, we have found the one Moses and the prophets wrote about, and invites Nathanael, come and see for yourself. He invites him, an invitation. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, Jesus invites notorious sinners. Jesus was calling out people that people questioned all the time. You're like, why are you talking to them? Why are you spending time with them? He calls Matthew while he is sitting at his tax collector's booth. Mark chapter 7, verse 32, a deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him. Mark chapter 8, verse 22, when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus. Mark chapter 9, verse 17, one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus. Y'all see the pattern here. This idea of telling others about Jesus and bringing them to him. Luke chapter 5, verse 18 through 19 says, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. They lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. It's like, what are you willing to do to get others to Jesus? How many holes in a roof are you willing to bust open to get others to Jesus? What kind of issues and problems and worries and stresses and heights and depths are you willing to go through to bring others to Jesus? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to go through in order to get others to Jesus? Remember, we started off reading Luke chapter 8, verse 39. Verse 38 said, the man who had been freed from the demons begged to go with him. He's begging to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him home saying, no, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you. So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. And this is one of those things where when I first read it, I'm like, okay, like, why wouldn't Jesus allow that to happen? Like the man's begging to go with him. But Jesus says no. And I'm often reminded in times when I'm like, I just don't understand this. Like, God, what's going on? I'm reminded of Isaiah 55 where it says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And to trust God with that. You see, when Jesus healed the man, the people in the region of the town knew what this man had been going through. They knew he had been possessed, and they became fearful of Jesus. They were scared, and they actually asked Jesus to leave and go away. And Jesus did that. He healed the man, and because they were fearful, he left. And this man's begging to come with him, and he says, no, like, I want you to stay, though. You keep telling people around here what's been going on, what's been happening, what's been taking place. This man wants to come with him. And then so we see in Matthew 15, though, we see the next time Jesus comes to this region, there's a crowd of over 4,000 not wanting to run Jesus away, not being fearful of Jesus, but ready to hear Jesus, ready to learn about Jesus. Matthew 15, verse 29 says, Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. Watch this. A vast crowd brought to him people. Jesus knows this man is begging to go with him, but he's like, look, I have a bigger mission for you. I need you to tell others. Tell the whole town, the whole region, what God has done for you. And when Jesus returns, people are there hungry to hear from Jesus. And they spend 3 days listening to Jesus' teachings. And later they would take part in one of the miracles where Jesus feeds the 4,000. And I like to think that it had in part to do because of this man was willing to go and listen to what God had said. He was willing and ready, and he trusted God. And he went and told others what God had done for him. You know, there's an estimated 127,000 people in Saline County. I think there's just over 20,000 children and students that are in our area. A lot of adults there. Where are they? Now, here's the challenge, church, right? To tell them and to invite them. Who's going to tell them? And who's going to invite them if it's not us? They're broken, they're hurting, they're in need of the hope we have. They're pursuing and chasing all sorts of things, and we have the answer. It's not for us to hold on to, but for us to share with others, to tell others, to be willing, to be ready, and to trust God, to trust God. If God is burdening you with somebody, pursue that. There's going to be a quote up on the screen from Christopher J.H. Wright. It says, it's not so much that God has a mission for his church in the world, but that God has a church for his mission in the world. Take part in the mission. Tell and invite anyone to church. Tell and invite anyone to an HC group. I get it. It may be difficult sometimes. People may be leaning in and like, I don't know about coming on a Sunday. Well, then take them to a group. Take them to a life group, a recovery group, a connect group, a growth group. Let them kind of ease their way into it. If they like hiking, we have a hiking connect group. Take them hiking, and that way they get to hear about Jesus. But invite somebody. Tell them about what God has done for you. And along the way, be willing and be ready and trust God with the process. There's somebody out there in your circle that needs it, that needs to hear it, that needs to be told, that needs to be invited. Tell and invite that person, church. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, God. Thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, your holiness, God. Thank you for how you love us and how you have displayed that love towards us, God. God, I pray that you would be with my brothers and sisters in Christ here, God. I thank you for them, for their willingness to serve, to point others to Jesus, to help others find and follow you, God. God, but I pray that you would just burden us for people. Whether it be one or 10 or 20 or however many, God, give us at least one that we can tell, that we can invite, that we can share Jesus with, God. For there are people who are hurting, and God, we have the answer. I pray that you would just make it clear who our person is. God, we thank you for our time here this morning, God, that we would do a great work for your kingdom and for your glory, God. We love you and praise you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.